There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are in France. Which means Tubi is more popular than cigarettes for breakfast. It's more popular than considering iced coffee a total abomination. More popular than loving political revolutions. More popular than mère and mère somehow being different words. Tubi, it's more popular than being French. See you in there.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, I'm so excited to be here with Cameron Wagoner, a pitcher in the Brewers organization. Cameron, how's it going, bro?
I'm doing amazing. How are you doing today?
Man, I can't complain. Where are you at right now? What state are you in?
We're in Michigan.
Okay. So you're in the Midwest as well right now. Okay. So I was going to say, just got like 6, 7, 8 inches of snow yesterday. So I'm excited to head out to spring training for a little bit to kind of get away from this weather.
Oh, you see, that was the one nice thing. When I was in Australia, like it was like 75 degrees to like 90 degrees, sunny every day. So I was just like, oh, this is going to be nice. And then once I got off the plane in Michigan, I was like, dude, there's snow. Like, what's going on here? I kind of forgot about everything that goes on in the U.S. So I was just like, oh, it's going to be 75 when I get home. Yeah. And then little to know, that little short sleeve I was wearing didn't really pay off in the end.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. How was Australia? Obviously, you get to go out there and pitch. I mean, it's a whole new experience. I'm assuming you hadn't traveled to Australia before, but how was that whole experience, dude?
It was honestly, it might have been the greatest baseball experience I've ever had, just because like you kind of get out there, you don't really know what you're getting into. And like, thankfully, they give us a rental car so we can go on an adventure on our own. But just being able to, like, for me, like I'd never really been on the beach. I'd never gone swimming in the ocean, let alone like I might have gone once or twice in a lake. So being able to like go and see the ocean, the Australian guys, like I think there was 4 or 5 from just my team alone that are playing for Team Australia.
Yeah.
And just being able to like learn from them, just like kind of like learn how to like relax. Like a couple of them, there was one guy like Samuel Holland, who is like he's like a kind of like a submarine pitcher for Team Australia. And his like big thing is like the mental part of the game. And being able to learn from like a lot of guys like that who have like they've been through it. I mean, I think he's 30 plus. And being able to learn from somebody that's almost 10 years older than you, just on a day-to-day basis, kind of like learn how to like have fun with the game and not just think of it as like a business opportunity. Really, like it kind of like it changes your mindset from like, oh, like we're just gonna try and get some money to, yeah, let's just try and play this game for as long as we can and find the joy within the game rather than like just try and find money.
Yeah, and the mental side of baseball is so important. And I always ask everybody I have on here, like, how do you deal with the mental side? Because baseball, you have ups, you have downs, there's injuries. Like, you never know what's going to happen. You can't always live on the highs and can't always live on the lows. What do you do personally, or what has worked for you to stay like mentally like strong or focused on the game?
Honestly, it was I've normally been just like a analytics or stole the ball kind of guy. And it actually happened in Australia. It was a funny story. We were in a coffee shop with Sammy Holland. And like my buddy Carter Hope was just coloring in like this Spider-Man picture. And I was like, oh, like that's kind of funny. Like coloring's kind of like, it's a little bit relaxing.
Yeah.
And Sammy goes like, hey, yeah, man. Like, and like, that might be something you want to try before you start. Like just a way to like distract the mind before you start pitching. And it was kind of funny because then like after that, I was like, oh, I'm going to go and grab one of these Spider-Man pictures. I'm going to color it before the start and we're just going to see what happens. And right after that, like after I had started throwing, I was like, this is life changing. Like,
wow,
I don't honestly, like I wasn't thinking about baseball because you're there for like, you're at the field for like 2 to 3 hours. And when I have like this straight music block where like it'll be like an hour 24. I think it's hour 24 exactly where like I don't talk to people, but I was like, I don't know what to do during that block. And for an hour of it, I was just like, okay, you know, we're just going to go buy a coloring book and we're just going to color. Wow. Like literally you'll see me like I'll be sitting there punched over on a table and I'll just be coloring in like random pictures. And for me, that was like more of like, before like a start, I'll get like really bad anxiety because I'll just start like thinking about it. And that's the only thing that I think about to now where like, I'll just distract myself. Like I'll be like, oh, like let's read a book. Let's color in something like childish where you're just like, you're just relaxing. Like you lose track of time during it. And you're just like, oh, like we'll just open up the creative side of the mind where like you color outside the lines. Like I'll never forget it. I was like, I colored outside the lines like twice. And I was like, hey, you know, like that's okay.
Yeah.
The picture's still gonna look good. And I like took a break and I was like, you know, like that's kind of like baseball. Like if you like miss outside the zone, that's okay. You still have another chance for the rest of the game to just start throwing strikes. Like it's not as complicated as it can be, but it's so simple that you can overcomplicate it in a split second. And then just, if you do that, then it can be an absolute train wreck.
Yeah. Do you think that's something you're going to keep doing moving forward? Because I've never heard of that. And that's actually a really interesting concept, just kind of relaxing coloring, because they do make adult coloring books. It's not like a childish thing anymore. It's actually a thing that people do to kind of de-stress. Is that something you're going to keep doing kind of moving forward until it doesn't work anymore?
Oh yeah. That's one of the biggest things. Like I was like, Jeremy Atkinson, one of my buddies, I don't know, out in Australia, actually, like I was talking about like, oh, like, you know, like I'll have to buy some coloring books when I'm back at home. And he was like, oh, don't worry. And he came back the next day and had like brought me 4 coloring books, just all different sorts of things. I went to the bookstore and I was like, you know, like I need to find something that's really fun. And I like found this What If book where it's there. Oh, sorry for the dog.
Oh, I can't even hear it. It's all good.
Yeah, it's like I found like this book. It's like a What If book where there's this scientist who has his own website where he'll have like his like people that like his viewers just like enter in random questions. And one of them, I'll never forget, it was like what would happen if you threw a ball at the speed of light?
Oh,
and he'll like scientifically break every single thing down. And it was like, in the end, it was pretty much like it would level like a city block. You know, it was just kind of like, oh, okay. I never thought about that, but like just finding like things where you just like it distracts yourself, but at the same time you're like, oh well, I never would have thought about that. Just to me, at least, it opens up my brain a little bit from like being like so like shortcut, just like you need to do this and this, like the oh, like let's have a little bit of fun, but at the same time like, let's at least make it beneficial, let's learn something, let's make it fun. Like it's kind of like what, like my mom's a second grade teacher. Like you just got to make it fun, but at the same time, resourceful, where you're not just going to be doing the same thing every single day.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that's cool that you can have that experience even from like a teacher's point of view. Cause I actually taught second grade for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. In California, right out of college. I was a second grade teacher for a couple of years. Loved it. Australia, you go there, you're 3-1, 3.26 ERA. Brewer fans are looking at that, they're just drooling over you now. What did you I've seen Twitter, man. I'm like, I was just kind of typing in your name and I see all these things that are popping up. I'm like, all right, people are kind of, you know, national writers, local writers, you know, your name is kind of out there now. What is maybe one thing you learned in Australia that you can use when you come back here to pitch?
Honestly, I went out to Australia and I hadn't like my pitching coach in college left like after my sophomore year of college because I had COVID my freshman year. And I was kind of like just like left in the dust where I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to learn. I was honestly, I cannot think. I don't know if you don't know Mac Jenkins, but I know you remember when the Nationals won the World Series, right?
Yeah.
Like he was their pitching coach when they won the World Series. And I was playing in the Appalachian League, which I'm pretty sure used to be a minor league team, or it was minor league league.
Might have been like a rookie ball or something,
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was rookie ball. Like I know Trevor Bauer and a couple like big names played there. At least in my stadium, I was in like Tusculum. It's like a small town in Tennessee or Greenville, but the college was Tusculum. But I mean, I kind of like went out there and I'll never forget it. Like I was just throwing a normal bullpen, and my coach kind of like, oh, like have you ever thrown a slider? I was like, no, like I'm curveball, fastball, can't throw a changeup because it'll go like into the backstop. And he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, here, let's throw a slider. And then the next day went on the mound and struck like I'm pretty sure it was like 11 of the 12 guys I faced out. Like, it was the most incredible start I ever had in my life. And I was like, OK, like I have something right here that like it'll work in the future. And I took that into Australia and just kept throwing it and out of nowhere they were kind of like, hey, like let's bang the curveball. And I was kind of like, okay, you know, like I got drafted out of high school for like a good curveball. why would we do that? And he was kind of like, hey, you're like, your arm slot's pretty low. Let's like add a sweeping slider. And I was like, so I'm going to have two sliders. And he's like, yeah. He's like, why not? He's like, it'll look cool. And like, my biggest thing is like, if I'm more of like the, cause I wear glasses when I pitch, I can't really tell that much like what the movement of the pitch is. So it's like, oh, is it going to move a lot? And he's like, it's going to move a lot. And then I threw it and he was like, he's like, you're a natural at that. Like, that's exactly what you want to do. All you got to do is throw it for a strike. And I was like, oh, that shouldn't be that hard. So my coach, Michael O'Neill, was he's the Carolina pitching coach this year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thankful enough. He's like, all right, let's break it down. Like, week by week, what's our goal going to be? And the first time I threw it for a strike in a pen, went out to the next game, of course, threw it for a ball like five times. And I was like, dude,
naturally,
this thing moves too much. I was like, I don't know how to throw this for a strike. It moves too much. And he was like, all right, well, let's break it down. Like, you got 5 weeks till spring training. So you got 5 weeks until you got to throw this thing for a strike. So you got 5 weeks to learn. It's mm-hmm. like, so every outing, let's just try and build on it. And then, of course, the next outing, I will never forget it. It was, I got like two absolute nukes hit off of me. Like, no doubters. The first one, the Aussie guys loved it because I looked at it and then pointed up. And then I looked at the ball and went, oh.
You pointed up because you thought it was like a pop-up?
I thought it was a little pop-up. And then I didn't realize the guy squared it up. And that ball, they had like a little glass tower in left field. And it hit off like the second panel of glass. And I was like, oh, no. But like after that, I think I might have thrown like five fastballs. And it was just all sweeping sliders and sliders. And for me, I was like, okay, you know, like I would love to use the fastball more. But if I'm going to try and like be fastball heavy and I'm going to have that happen, I'd love to take the rest of the game and just use that to use my off speed.
Mm-hmm.
And using the off speed for it, honestly, grew it so much to where I went from no confidence in the pitch to like now I'm like throwing it in catch play. And I'm like, okay, like I got this easy money.
Yeah.
This is going to be a strike when I want it to be. It'll be a ball when I don't want it to be. Like the confidence in the command, because I think that's the hardest thing to like add as a new pitch is just the confidence mm-hmm. in yourself that you can throw up for a strike.
So you're going to come back here then to hopefully Appleton, like even bigger, badder than ever. Like you're just going to be confident. Like just everything that we saw last year is just going to be even better then.
Oh, yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. That's what I've been most hyped for is just like being able to throw in the U.S. again. Like, it's going to be a little bit cold at the beginning of the season. Like, normal, freezing. I'm not going to be throwing in 75 yeah. degrees. But also, like, that was the one thing it was weird from all the other guys in high school that I played with, was when I played in high school, I would, like, if it was, like, a 35, 40-degree game, I was like, oh, you know, like, let me rub some, like, biofreeze on my arm. It'll make me colder. I was like, hey, on the bright side, after the game, I don't have to ice my arm anymore. It's just going to be already iced from the air. So I was like, yeah. We'll yeah. be fine. Like, you can just warm back up. It's hard to like start it, but then once you're warm, you're warm. Like, you just can't stop moving. So you always like see me around the dugout. I'm not the guy that like sits in the corner and has to like focus. Like, I'll be like walking the dugout, be all happy, and then be right there on like the front edge, just like, all right, let's go. Like, score a few runs. You score a few runs, then like I'm ready. Right yeah. then I'm like, okay, let's go. If like my starting catcher's not out there, I'm not like the guy who's going to throw a fit and be like, oh, like I need my catcher there now. Like, I'll go fiddle with the mound. I'm not a picky guy. I kind of just like go with the flow when I'm out there. But yeah, just like adding, this has been a big like mental building year sure. this year for me.
Yeah. And this is kind of random thought here. Maybe just my dumb non-baseball brain, but how do you balance like the development versus competition, because you want to compete, you want to do well, but at the same time you want to develop and did the Brewers have you work on anything specific? You talked about, you know, your different pitches, but was there anything that they told you like, hey, we want you to work on this specifically during your time in Australia?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing for me was just learning that secondary off pitch mm-hmm. Off speed pitch,
because mm-hmm.
like I have like a halfway decent change up. It's not like I'll throw it like once to twice a game. Like, it's not like a big time. Like, that's, it's not a Devin Williams changeup or anything like that, you know? But like, I have like a slider that does me really good. We kind of like, we straight off, I started throwing a sinker and they're like, hey, like, let's throw a one seam. And I was like, hey, whatever you guys tell me to do, I'm going to do it, because like, I'm not, there's no reason for me to try and fight anything with anybody that knows way more than me.
Yeah.
But, it was kind of like, let's learn like two more pitches out there. Like, let's give you a real curveball. And then we kind of like, we try like the knuckle curve and like the Max Lazar knuckle curve where he was one of them that was with me in Australia. And I was just like, dude, I wish I could throw that. Like, I was just like, that thing's sweet and you can throw for a strike so many times. And I kind of like looked at my arm angle and I was like, oh, like I'm almost sidearm now. Like, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. But
it was more of like, let's learn like a couple pitches, make you into a true starter where like, rather than fastball, slider, change up, you can be like, all right, like you got a 5-pitch mix now. Four of them is a consistent strike. Changeup's like iffy. I'll just throw it in there because it moves. It's just like the, it's not always in the zone. I'm not going to, I'll never like be like, oh, it's a good pitch because it's a good pitch to move, but it's just, it's a different look for the hitter.
Yeah. Switched up a little bit. You mentioned they give you a car and stuff in Australia. What is maybe one experience that you had there that like you could never have here? Obviously there's a ton of those in Australia, but maybe what is maybe one of your most favorite experiences that you've had in Australia, like off the field?
I will never forget. Honestly, it was Christmas Day. We went out Christmas Eve to like the beach and like it was pretty empty and we're like, okay, we're gonna go Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And we had rented out, or the guys had rented out an Airbnb, and I was like, oh, like nope, there's no way anybody's gonna be on the beach this day. Like, there's no way. And we walk out on the beach, it's completely packed, and we're bringing like this little soccer ball with us because we've been playing like hacky sack, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like, we've been playing like hacky sack. We've been using a real soccer ball. And I honestly hadn't realized that on Christmas Eve, I had gotten sunburnt because I've never been in Michigan. I never knew that you had to reapply sunscreen. So you had me out there. I was burnt to a crisp. My foot was burnt. We'd been playing soccer for like the last 3 days.
Yeah.
And I was out there, we're juggling the ball like for like 2-3 hours. And at the end, we're like, oh, let's play a pickup soccer game. And the sun goes down and all of a sudden the sunburn just starts to kick in. And I was just I was like, okay, I can power through this. And then I fall on the ground one time, just like missed the like Cinderella kick behind, like just almost a backflip. And I was like, okay, I was like, I'm done. Like, this hurts. I can't do this anymore. But like, that's one story I'm going to tell my kids, just how cool the beaches are there. How like relaxed everybody is. There's not like the like, typical like you get road rage and everything. It's kind of like the like, hey, like we're all going to the same place, we're going to the beach, we're going to go to the beach, we're going to read a book, we're just going to like sit there and sit under the sun and just relax on it. Like that's one of the most peaceful places I've ever been in my life, honestly.
That's awesome. What about the food? Like, I'm always curious about food. Like, what was there anything that you ate there that you've never had before? Like, I don't even know what they eat there, if I'm being honest, but like, was there something unique?
They eat honestly kind of the same food, but like our owner took us out. It was the day that we left actually. And he got us crab or lobster. And he got us crab and lobster, both like big monster platter. Oh, nice. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about this because most like fish, anything that's not like a white fish, like I might have like a bad reaction too. I might like have an upset stomach. And I was like, dude, I got a 14-hour plane ride. I don't know how I feel about this. And James Meeker, he threw in Wisconsin last year, actually. He was my roommate in Australia. And he was
nice.
All right. He's like, you don't have to have a lot of this, but you have to try it. Yeah. And I was like, okay, you know, like I'll try it a little bit. And I was like, this is kind of a weird texture, but I like the taste. Yeah. So he's like, you got normally you eat with butter. You don't just eat it straight up. But he's like, yeah. He's like, this is something that you want to try again in the U.S. And the most interesting thing over there was you can get sushi anywhere you want to go.
Oh, nice.
But we lived in a Chermside and we had a Chermside mall right next to us. And you walk to the mall and get four rolls of sushi for like $14 Australian dollars. And I was like, oh, I was like, dude, this is the cheapest thing ever. If I want to do this in Michigan, like that's like a $30 meal,
right? Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm eating corn food. But you're getting like good food everywhere you go. Like they're not big on the processed food over there. Like that's more of like the whole food. Everything's a little bit healthier.
Oh wow!
Like they're like they look more for like the health aspects of things. Where like we're kind of like
the opposite.
I we're eating like healthy pizza over there, and I came back here and I was like, I need a pizza with some grease on it. Like I gotta see the grease. I gotta know where this thing's been.
That's awesome. Let's get a little bit into your background and growing up and stuff. You were the number four overall prospect in high school in Michigan. So you were obviously pretty decent. What point in your high school career did you realize, like, all right, I might be a little bit better than the rest of the average, you know, talent here. I might be a little nasty. Pro ball is in my future, maybe some college ball. Like, at what point did you realize you had a future in baseball?
Honestly, it would be just for college ball. It'd be my sophomore year of high school. Like, I threw 86 at some, like, prep baseball report event. And I was, like, I overheard my school ball coach being like, oh, he threw 86. And I was like, is that a big deal? I was like, I don't know.
I don't know what anyone's thrown nowadays.
Yeah. And then going into my senior year, like, I threw 93 at a Rockies event. And I was like, oh, I was like, I might have a chance. And I kind of got back with my summer ball coach and he was like, if you really want to go pro, he's like, let's try and strive it this year. And literally every single day after school, I would drive an hour, 20, go and train. I'd sit in my car. Literally, I had this little Ford 500. I would sit in my car for 2 to 3 hours and do my homework. And then I'd get out of the car to go to practice. And then I'd make the hour 20 drive home.
Wow.
And I was, all right, like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it. Like, yeah. We're not going to do it wrong. We're not going to try and, like, go to somebody else. This is the guy that knows his stuff. Like, let's keep going to him. And out of high school, it ended up paying off. Like, I went to, like, the Super 60 event. I think I topped, like, 94, 95 then. And I was like, that's the hardest.
Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of sweet. And on there, yeah, I threw a change up there. And I might have thrown it 40 feet at most. And I had, like, 50 scouts start giggling. And I was like, okay. Like, I'm not trying to be, like, show that I'm embarrassed. But I was like, oh, yeah. Nice to know you guys saw that, too.
Yeah, they watch everything.
Oh, they don't miss a single thing. They got your spin rate, your velocity, your freaking, maybe your foot angle. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, but, there's a local, you heard of the Northwoods League, right? It's the, so there's in Wisconsin, there's a very small Dairyland League or something. It's like almost like a feeder league for the Northwoods League. And there was this one high school guy throwing, and there's so many scouts there. He literally went there just to showcase for a game. And, like, I heard – it's funny hearing, like, all the scouts talking, like, oh, yeah, well, his dad's this and his mom is that. Oh, I talked to his dad's a big guy. And they're just characterizing the dad and then basing, like, the future projections of the kid based on, like, conversations with the parents. And I'm like, this is insane, like, all that the scouts think about when they're, like, evaluating these different kids and stuff.
Oh, it's insane. It was honestly having those conversations in high school, because, like, I got drafted by the Rangers out of high school in, like, the 22nd round, and having those conversations where they're like, oh, like how tall is your mom? And I was like, 5'2". And they're like, oh, like, how tall is your dad? And I was like, 6 foot. Like, oh, do you have any college athletes, like, in the background? And I was like, no. It's like, I have a brother who's, like, an engineer.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, oh, that's kind of weird. And I was like, and just having that conversation, like, oh, like, why is this kid, like, 6'4", 6'5", and throw hard? And I was, dude, I don't have an answer for you. Like, I have coaches that'll give you an answer, but I'm just kind of here to have some fun and throw the ball hard, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And like I said, and also you get drafted again and by the Brewers this time, better team, my opinion, no big deal. and a higher draft pick, too, I believe. And how was your experience in the minors? Because you get drafted, you go right to rookie ball, you dominate rookie ball, they send you to low A where you also do well. And like I said, I just scrolling on Twitter, man, Brewers fans are just gassing you up and, you know, rightfully so and stuff like that. But what was your experience in the minor leagues?
Honestly, it was second to none. Like, nice. I kind of going there, I was freaking out. Like, I was like, I don't know what's gonna happen. I feel like I'm gonna get yelled at the second I get down there for something. Like, it's kind of weird going to, like, just straight baseball as, like, a job to rather than, like, baseball in school. And I'll never forget, like, I had Tyler Worley as my roommate, and he's from Ohio, and I was like, oh, I wonder who my roommate's gonna be. And I see, like, these two guys in my room, and one's Reese, and I was just like, he's one of our free agent high school picks, and I was just like, are you both my roommates? And he was like, oh, Tyler goes like, oh, no, man, like, I'm your roommate. And I was just, like, talking it up with him. And I was like, oh, it's like, everything's going to be fine. And you got kind of, like, you get into the facilities and you're just like, nobody's got it out for you. Everybody's mm-hmm. like here. Like, yeah, some guys like might be a little bit more selfish than others, but I never had that experience. And it was kind of like just every guy's kind of like, hey, you do good. Like, keep it up. Tell me what you did to like throw well that outing. Like,
yeah,
positive reinforcement. I had Josh Spence as my bullpen coach, which I was very thankful for because him being from Australia also helped me a lot for Australia. But just kind of like having like a very good support system with you and being, I mean, I wasn't in the minors for very long because I mean, being a draft pick, but
right.
From all the coaches that I've met with Michael O'Neill and I had Drew in Carolina as well. Like it was very, very like, hey, let's figure out how to make you the best player that we possibly, that you can be. Like we're not going to fret around it. If you're not going to be good enough for us, like if you're not going to be our guy, then why wouldn't we try and like trade you and get another person? Yeah. Like let's get you the highest you can be fast as possible.
For sure. Did you play with Nate? I'm assuming you did. Nate Peterson?
Yeah.
He drafted, I think, eighth round. He was on, I had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago. Super cool guy.
Oh, yeah. He's an amazing guy. I didn't get to tech with him a lot because I was kind of like, due to me not throwing a lot of innings in college this year with me not playing, like, I got kind of like, it was like a, okay, if you're going to throw, like, you're going to throw. Like, there's no going to be shortcutting it with a lot of the guys, like, in my class. They're kind of like, oh, like, let's lay you back a little bit. With me, it was more of like, all right, you're at the four-inning mark. You're going to go to Carolina. You're going to keep throwing. Like, we're not going to, like little foot around it. Like, it's just, let's go right now. We'll make you now. Like, just keep going. We'll see everything that you got. Just keep showing it. And honestly, in my opinion, I was like, all right, you know, like, season ended. And I was like, on the bright side, like, I think I put a good note there for myself where, I kind of put my name on the board for at least if I get to – have somebody important on my side, like that's all that matters in my opinion. Just keep trying to like make more notice of myself and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. While you were in Carolina, did you go, I guess you weren't there for very many games and stuff, but like did you travel at all and like get to experience the minor league travel, the minor league hotel and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, well I got very lucky. Like the first one we went to Kannapolis and I had Vargas with me. And I remember taking him with me from rookie ball and he went back to Carolina and he was traveling with me and we were roommates for the first time or first time we were there in Kannapolis and went back home. And I was like, this is kind of weird. Oh, sorry. And, we went back to like, back to the Mudcat Stadium.
Yeah.
And like our last trip, I'll never forget it. I know, you know, Jacob Mizrowski, of course, because that kid's an absolute animal. And he was my roommate for our last series in Myrtle Beach. And this poor, I felt terrible because I'd never seen the ocean before.
Oh, wow.
And he would be going to bed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I would probably be out there. I mean, I have to talk to the fiance, of course, because that's a necessity. Like you can't step away from the lady. And I'd be talking to her and it might be like 11 to 12 at night. And the first day I saw it, like I was just looking across the ocean and all of a sudden you just see this like big John Deere tractor go around like scraping the beach. And I was like, this might be the most relaxing place ever. Like it's a little bit rainy out there. And I was kind of like, this is cool. I was like, I kind of like told her, I was like, hang on, I'll call you back in a few minutes and just kind of like took it all on for a second. I was like, this is very, I was like, I can't tell anybody how lucky enough that I am to be able to now travel the world, but just be able to travel the country from when I wasn't able to do that to now. I kind of like a lot of people take it for granted where you're like, you're traveling. Yeah. You're like, oh, I got to travel. And now I'm kind of like, oh, like, you know, like I'm traveling, but it's not a bad thing. Like it's a very good thing. There are stories I'm going to be able to tell for like the rest of my life where like, oh, like I can tell you how Myrtle Beach was. If you want to go there, I can tell you all these other places.
Who was like, one guy on the Brewers in low A or low A, or who was maybe just absolutely like hounded by like the autograph people?
I mean, I had Eric Brown and Robert Moore with me, so
that's true. Like, you like security just to get out of there?
Oh yeah, like, I would be sitting there and like I'd have one person ask me for my autograph, and I was like, I feel honored, honestly. Yeah. And then you have them just like do right by you, and you got like 30, 40 people, and they're like, oh, like, hey, can I get your autograph? And they're just kind of like, oh, yeah. And then you have Mizorowski walking right behind him, like, after he throws a bullpen, and everyone's just, like, in awe as the kid's, like, sitting, like, 97 in the bullpen. And I was like, I was like, dude, you're throwing, like, this. You're like, 80% is what I top at. I was like, that's not right. I was like, that's crazy. It's in my brain, it just can't, like, understand it. But
yeah.
Those were easily, like, the three guys that were just kind of, like, hounded. Like, everybody knew them. I had one guy before an outing who was like, hey, I'm really excited to see you throw. And I was like, hey, man. I was like, thank you. And I like went like four shutout. And he was like, hey, you did a great job. And I was like, thank you. Like, that's amazing. I signed a little bat for him. And then after the game, just like 40 people again. And I was like, dude, I was like, people don't understand like how crazy it is when you kind of like get done with the game when you first get down there after like I went 3 years of college with no autograph. And then out of nowhere, just people are just like, hey, like, can you sign this for me? Can you sign this? And I was like, you don't know what to say. I was like,
yeah,
it's an honor, honestly. Yeah.
And it's just beginning. It was like you said, you were in low A for a couple of weeks, if that. And so once you kind of start your full season of minor league ball, you're going to experience the travel, the food, the hotels that are not the nicest. And we'll have to get you back on. Like I said, we're doing this in person. As soon as you're here in Milwaukee or Appleton, we'll have to do this in person, you know, so we can have a little bit longer conversation than what we're doing here now, but and talk about all your experiences that you're going to go through. But when you're not pitching and you're not working out, what do you do for fun? Are you a golf guy? Because there's a lot of golfers in baseball. You're a COD guy, Fortnite. Like, what do you do for fun?
Honestly, I'm a really big golf guy, but I never want to pay the shipping for my golf club. So I'm just kind of like, I'll just I have a little Nintendo Switch with me.
Oh, nice.
And we bring it with us everywhere, and we play we're big. Like, you get a bunch of like ultra competitive guys, like you know, Logan Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll have him, and we'll have two to three other guys with us, and we'll play either Switch Sports or we'll play like the most competitive Mario Kart you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Like, I was there for Instrux this year. We would play that for 2 to 3 hours every single night, or we'd go downstairs and play pool.
Yeah.
And if you get like a bunch of like ultra competitive guys, like, of course we have to be. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the, like, we don't accept the losing part. So it's kind of like, okay, if I lost, like, we got to play again. Like, we're playing like 30 races, and we're just like, you get to like midnight, like, all right, like, we got to tone it down. We got to get up like at 6 or 7 in the morning tomorrow. Like, let's go to bed, guys. And everyone's like, oh, fine. You got like a tally going. You have like the winners and the losers, and yeah, like that's like our big thing. And then I get a little bit into like Pokemon and everything.
Yeah,
like I'll play a little bit, but I kind of like strayed off it when I was in Australia because I just didn't have enough time for it. Mm-hmm. But main games is like Switch Sports, Mario Kart, and then Mario Golf as well, because you get a little golf swing in there. Mm-hmm. For simulated golf, and makes it a little bit fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll have to golf sometime. I don't golf. Like, I'm more like the locker room guy when it comes to golf. Like, I'll hype up the boys, like, I'm not gonna even pretend that I'm good at it. So if you're here in Wisconsin, man, we'll have to go sometime.
Oh yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hey, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, man. I do appreciate you taking your time. And like I said, we'll do this again in person. Hopefully, you have an awesome spring training. When do you head out to Arizona?
I head out next Wednesday now.
Okay. That's crazy. It's coming up. This whole thing was so fast. Like, I just feel like the World Series ended like a week ago, and now we're already spring training. I'm going to Florida in 2 weeks. I mean, I wish it was Arizona, but the way everything kind of going now, I'm going to Florida for a couple of days for spring training there, catch some of the guys I know out there. But yeah, man, I'm excited to see what happens, man. I'm buying early on your stock, right? I'm buying early on the Cameron stock, and we'll see what happens, bro.
Oh. But thank you very much. And I can't wait to see you in person.
Yeah, awesome, absolutely, man. You have a great rest of your day.
Thank you very much. You as well.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.